Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Dub Weekly Podcast. Follow us, find us, share it, love us. Real quick, donate to the Animal Rescue Fund. Donate $25, whatever you want to donate. $5 is fine. We're raising money for Animal Rescue, Noah's Ark, in Morristown, Tennessee. Please help us donate. Use our Cash App in the show notes. If you don't have Cash App, we can find another way, but that's just what I've got and what I use. But we want to help out the Noah's Ark and the animals as much as we can. I don't want to bore you with anything. I just want to get right to it. I want to tell you a story. And I want to tell you a story that's going to keep you on the edge of your seat. I'm going to tell you a story, and you're going to be scratching your heads. You're going to be wondering what in the hell is going on. I want to tell you about a gentleman. But first, I want to take you back to 1986. You're in East Tennessee. It's Hawkins County, Tennessee. And we're going to tell a story about a gentleman by the name of Kenneth Brent Patterson. In 1986, Kenneth was 27 years old, about 5'11", about 150 pounds. Long red hair, long red beard. So it's 86. He's kind of a hippie type. Well, more than that, more than a hippie type. Let me just tell you. He was the type of a free spirit. He had hitchhiked through over 32 of the United States. He has been linked with groups like a company called The Farm. He was linked to the Rainbow Group. He had also spent some time with the Yuma Indian Religious Group. He had spent time with a Swami in California. So he was a hippie. And he was a vegetarian. He was a writer, a poet, a singer, just what you would think of. If I say hippie, I don't mean it derogatory. Just a free spirit type. Anytime he would go hitchhiking, every 2 days, no matter who he was with or what he was doing, he would always call his mother just to let her know that he was okay. Very close family, very close to his mother. So, it's June. And remember, guys, I always have notes. I have papers, and you hear papers. It's me fumbling through them, so I apologize. It's July the 15th, and Kenneth Patterson, or Brent, is seen in Churchill, Tennessee. Sometime in the early evening, 5-6 o'clock. Now, fast forward a few hours, and Sheriff's Deputy Roger Hudson is out on Goshen Valley Road, and he sees an accident. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. He sees a blue 1972 Camaro hung up off the road on a fence, stuck on a fence. So he gets out and starts investigating. It might, a car accident. He thinks someone might be hurt. No one's at the scene. So he starts to look around. You know, in the beginning, he has no concerns. Obviously concerns if it's an accident. But as he starts to look, he sees that the car is just totaled. And no one is around. So he needs some help. At best case scenario, he's got an accident that's, and the person's left the scene. So the police are called. So now we're into July the 16th, 1986. And what we have is a 1972 Chevy Camaro that has wrecked and run off the road into a field and is stuck on a fence. Now, as he starts to investigate, he notices that where the car is resting on the fence, it's stuck. But as he notices, that's not the original place that the car had entered the field and wrecked. the car had entered some 100 or 200 yards back and had entered what ran off the road so violently that the vehicle had flipped numerous times. The vehicle is totaled. Now, when the vehicle flips, it lands back on its tires, and the person, we're going to assume it is Kenneth Brent Patterson, that is in the vehicle, tries and attempts to drive it out of the field and get stuck on the fence. But Kenneth Brent Patterson is nowhere to be found. So as they still investigate and they're looking through this field, they notice a few items that are strewn about outside of the vehicle. They find his wallet. They find, and I got to get this right here, they find an Indian prayer bag. Now, this will later be told to the police. The police find it's just a bag with stuff in it. But this is an Indian prayer bag with sacred items in it from the Yuma Indian religion. It's got Brent's poems, his music, his books. Very important to Kenneth Brent Patterson, this bag. And all this stuff is just strewn about around the car. And the police find it odd that the wallet is placed in such a way that they feel like it's been planted. So now foul play starts to enter into the mind of these detectives. They've just got a bad feeling about it. Now come to find out, this accident only happened about a mile or less than a mile from Kenneth Brent Patterson's home or his mother's home where he lived. To let you know an idea of where it's at, he wrecked on a road called Goshen Valley Road about 300 yards before you get to a park, a turnoff to a park called Laurel Run Park. So now we've got this vehicle that was flipped, totaled, attempted to drive away from the scene, stuck on a fence, and all of the individuals, the owner of the vehicle, all of his items are strewn about outside of the vehicle with his prized possessions and his wallet being placed in a manner where police feel like that it was staged. So as they search around, and kudos to Hawkins County or the Rogersville Sheriff's Department. I'm sure it was Hawkins County Sheriff's Department, being it was in the county. They found it odd enough that they wanted to locate Mr. Patterson, but they felt that something was a little off. So they brought the bloodhounds. They brought dogs in. And they brought them in quick. So we're talking about within hours. This gentleman's wrecked, and under normal circumstances, I don't think you'd get a lot of legwork into that. I think that they would have hauled the car off. They would have thought that he was drunk or whatever, and they would have hauled the car, put it in storage, and then they would have looked for Kenneth Patterson later, probably when they accidentally run up on him. But they didn't this time. They brought bloodhounds in. Now, listen, I'm going to tell you a couple of issues that are very odd. The first is that when the bloodhounds get the scent, they get the scent from Kenneth Brent Patterson at the vehicle. So we know he was there. We know he was driving. They follow his scent all the way to the Holston River. And we're talking about a river, because I have floated down this river. This river can take you. I don't care what anybody says. This river can take you. And guess where his scent goes after it gets down to the river? Nowhere. The dogs track his scent from the car to the river, and it vanishes. It vanishes. He's gone off the face of the earth, or his scent is. Number two. By the time detectives get inside this car and look around, there is absolutely no blood or any evidence of anyone getting hurt in this crash. No blood in the vehicle anywhere. No signs of somebody hitting their head, their arm. No signs of anybody getting hurt inside this vehicle. No blood. Now, I guess that could be possible. It's 1986. Maybe they didn't have the tools to find minute amount of blood, but from the naked eye, luminol test, there is no blood inside this totaled, flipped vehicle. I find that odd. I guess it's possible, but how are you going to drive a vehicle, flip it 4 or 5 times, and there be no signs of anyone getting hurt inside that vehicle? That's strange to me. So what do we have? We have an accident. We have someone driving. We have the car trying to leave the accident. We have all of the victim's personal belongings outside of the vehicle. We have bloodhounds tracking his scent from the car to the Holston River, and then it just disappears. Now, as in the beginning, police didn't necessarily feel like it was 100% foul play, because he does roam. He's a hitchhiker. He's a roamer. He's a free spirit. He's hitchhiked in 32 states. He's run with cults and shamans and rainbow people. So who's to say that he's not with, you know, just wandered off with a group? Because there was a supposed sighting. Someone said they seen someone matching that description walking toward Church Hill around the time that the accident would have occurred. So there was, someone said they seen him walking back toward Church Hill. Now, as he's going back toward Church Hill, that's probably his route down toward the river. But if his route would have taken him any further than that, the dogs would have picked up on it. There's no doubt. And this river's wide. You're not crossing that river. So where is he? Where did he go? What to do from here? What do you do in a situation like this? So they gather all the evidence that they can, and they decide that since his scent ended at the river, then they needed to drag the river. And that's just what they do a few days later. I think that's very proactive. I think that's a very good idea. Kudos again to the Hawkins County Sheriff's Department. So who do they get? They get the Hawkins County. Hold on, I want to get this right. I got my notes. We're going back to them. Who do they get? Hawkins County Rescue. Or I'm sorry. See, I messed up. Churchill Rescue Squad and Kingsport Life Saving Crew drag the Holston River. And listen, they drag it and drag it and drag it. And guess what they find? You guessed it. Nothing. Nothing. So now what we have is a person that has vanished off the face of the earth. Wrecked his vehicle, tried to drive away. His personal items, his precious belongings, things that mean everything to him, are just thrown about around the car. His scent's picked up by bloodhounds. They follow it. It goes to the river, and then it just ends. They drag the river. They find nothing. Kenneth Brent Patterson has vanished off the face of the earth. I'm going to take a quick break. Don't hang up. Listen, you want to change your life? You want to make more money? Phlebotomy. Phlebotomy. This is a phlebotomy training course, 10 weeks. They'll work with your money. They'll work with your time. You can do it online. You can meet in person. They get you ready for the test, get you certified, and even have job placement. $25 to $50 an hour, a flexible schedule, and they're in high demand. Listen, East Tennessee Phlebotomy. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to send a text message to 423-327-3591 and say Duh Weekly Podcast and you get a discount. Send them a message about the phlebotomy training course. Use Duh Weekly Podcast and I'll guarantee you a discount. Send them a message right now. This is a great course. Listen, it'll change your life. All right, guys, welcome back. Hey, don't forget to help me donate. Donate and help me with the animal rescue. All right, let's get back to the story. All right, so what, leading up to what we have, and I'll go. I want to recap at the end. We've got a wreck, car flips, it's basically totaled, tries to leave the scene, gets stuck on a fence. Now, right outside of the car is wallet that looks like it's been staged and all of his personal precious belongings. Bloodhounds come out, they track his scent, so he was at the crash site. They track his scent from the car crash site to the Holston River. Now, Holston River, they bring out Churchill Rescue Squad, the Kingsport life-saving crew, and they drag the river for days and find nothing. One witness said that she thought she seen a person matching his description walking toward Churchill around the time of the accident, a little disoriented. Now, that could be possible because the bloodhound, he would have to be going back toward Churchill to go to the river. Okay. So now we're at a dead end. 3 months later, 90 days, it's 1986, and they offer a $1,000 reward. Now, I don't know what the numbers would be now, but that's probably like a $30,000 reward now. A $1,000 reward offered for any information, anonymous or whatever, but if your information led to an arrest and you testified, they would double the reward. Okay, so now all police can do is just speculate because there's really no evidence. There's no evidence. Now, in a small area, small town, rumors start to run wild. So, according to detectives, they're getting call after call after call of just ridiculous rumors that are just running wild. But none of them were ever confirmed or panned out, and there's no one ever mentioned as a person of interest, and no one at that point was arrested. So the detectives do a couple of interviews with the local newspapers, and when they do express some concern in foul play. Now they don't go into detail about what they think. They say that the case is so crazy that they're not going to speculate and tell you theories, that because they would just be speculating because they've heard such crazy stuff. But they do, I feel like they do feel that somehow there possibly could be foul play. Now, how could that be? Let's look at a couple of theories on what could have possibly happened. Now, we know one theory would be he had an accident, just an accident. He flips, he's disoriented, he lives less than a mile from the crash site, so he's trying to drive the car home. Gets stuck on a fence. Gets out. When he does, all of his stuff falls out. He's disoriented. He's hit his head. He's not bleeding, but he hit his head. And in a disoriented state, takes off walking toward Churchill. Goes down to the river to try to stay off of the road because he doesn't want to to be arrested for DUI, maybe. I'm not saying he was drinking, I'm just speculating, or whatever. Gets to the river and drowns. And just by chance, no one is ever able to recover the body. It just sinks to the bottom, and when it does float back up, it's hidden in brush or whatever, or it's in a secluded part of the river, and nobody sees it. I mean, it is July, so people are probably using the river a lot. Fishing, boats, inner tubing. I've inner tubed down that river, and it scared the shit out of me, I'll just be honest with you. So it's not a little bit safe little river. It's not, I mean, it ain't the damn rapids, but, I mean, it's a river. But, I mean, the only problem to that theory would be, you would think that if he made it to the river and drowned, you would think that it'd be in July, that at some point someone would have found the body. And I understand that. Another theory would be he wrecks, has, you know, the accident. He tries to drive away. He, you know, does everything in theory one, except as he's walking toward Churchill and the river, somebody drives by and offers to pick him up. Now, for whatever reason, things go south and he never makes it home and he's never seen again. I don't have any information that I've seen that he had any enemies. From what I've seen, he was a loving, peaceful, hippie type, you know, vegetarian that loved everything and everybody. And I feel like that's where police are with this. I feel like the police feel that he encountered someone, the wrong person at the right time, because he needed a ride and he needed some help. But whoever it was that drove up on him was a mug and was just an evil person, and maybe tried to rob him. Maybe just wanted to beat him up for fun. Maybe they were just a mean individual, and he was met to his demise. I mean, I don't know, because the one thing that throws me off on that would be they tracked his scent to the river. But that river's not too far off the road. I mean, in certain parts of it, I mean, because when you go back toward Churchill, there's a bridge you cross right over. So, I mean, someone could see him walking. He's down by the river. They've just crossed the bridge. They see him down there. Or he is at that river, runs back up the hill, waves somebody down. So it's definitely possible that with this theory too, everything still could be laid out. He could have walked to the river and be at a part of the river where someone could still see him from the road, or he could run up, you know, the same path back up. It wouldn't throw anything off. So if he walked down to the river, and as he run back up toward the road, basically use that same path, you know, back up, it wouldn't really show any difference for the dogs. So that's theory two, that someone pulled up to give him a ride, give him help, and he was met with foul play, and they murdered him and disposed of his body, because he's, at this point, he's been missing since July the 16th of 1986. So, theory, I mean, let's think here. Another theory could be, and I think, and as I get into my higher numbers of theories, I think that they're going to get a little bit more far-fetched, but another theory could be that someone was chasing him. And he was trying to get away from somebody. And that's why he was going at a high rate of speed. Lost control, flipped it. In a state of panic. Tried to start it up and drive away, which he did. But he got stuck on the fence. The whoever was chasing him got him at the fence, pulled him out of the car, threw his shit everywhere, started beating his ass, threw him in their trunk or their car or their truck or their van or whatever, and then drove off and You know, he's never to be seen again. That's, I mean, I guess that would be a little far-fetched, but I don't see anything that indicates that he would have a lot of enemies. But you just never know with people. I mean, he could have talked to somebody's girlfriend, or he could have, you know, anything could set some people on. And if alcohol's involved, you just don't ever know. But that could be an answer for how the wreck originally or initially happened. Because right through there, it's kind of a straightaway, and that's where you could get kind of fooled, get a little bit of high rate of speed going and hit just a little bump or whatever. But anyway, so that's just the theory. And that kind of, you know, because I always ask the question, what made him wreck? What caused the wreck? And that could be a theory that helps answer that question. But what do we know? What do we know? With these three theories, the pros that help, that lead toward it, would be the wallet and belongings left behind all over the scene. No blood from anyone in the car that rolled several times. Maybe it was wiped down in a quick haste or whatever, to, like, you know, wipe prints or whatever that may be off as they take someone away. But we're also talking to, you know, 3 a.m. But this is a country area, back road. Wouldn't have been a lot of traffic. And, I mean, you would think somebody would see something, you know, but obviously they didn't. But I don't think it's so far-fetched to think that someone could have been following him or caused him to wreck and then, you know, jerked him out of the car in a quick haste, just wiped down the car, wiped the blood. But the fact that there's no blood or no evidence of anyone being injured in an accident in the vehicle, I guess is odd to me, but it's not really that odd. I mean, because you could hit your head, you could, you know, do whatever without cutting yourself, but that's hard to do. So it is a little strange, but it would lead to maybe somebody wiping the car down, or in 1986, just not having the technology, you know, to see little minutes or things like that. But I'm going to come back. I'm going to wrap everything up. I want to give a quick reference guide to you on this story, and we'll be right back. Thanks. Another quick ad, I promise. Don't fast forward it, please. Listen. Animal Rescue Fund. Click the link in my bio or in the show notes and send us a donation for the Animal Rescue Fund. $1 to $1 million. I love helping these animals. I want to help more animals, and I just don't have the money to do it, but I bet my listeners can help. We will help a dog, a cat, a possum, a raccoon. But no, all jokes aside, Noah's Ark is a facility in Morristown, Tennessee, dogs and cats. But we won't discriminate. But if you could help us with that, I mean, if you can't, I get it. But if you can help us, send us a donation on our Cash App. 100% of it will go to help rescue an animal. It will. I go up there every Tuesday and donate my time. I want to be able to donate a little money. I want to be able to help them. They do good work. And it's just on my heart. And if you can help us with that, that would be amazing. And share the word on our podcast. Thank you. Bye. All right, guys, we're back. Hey, don't forget, help us with the Animal Rescue Fund. Cash App link's in the bio. 5, 25, whatever. Help us, please. All right, quick reference here. What do we got? Kenneth Brent Patterson. 27, 5'11", 150 pounds, long red hair, long beard. Last seen wearing a blue denim shirt, blue jeans, tennis shoes, and always had a bandana. He hitchhiked over through 32 different states. He had been with groups like The Farm, Rainbow Group, Yuma Indian Religion, a Swami in California. He's a vegetarian, a hardcore hippie, writer, singer, poet, went to a Christian college, just a spiritual individual. Peace-loving individual. Okay, July 15th, 1986, he's seen in the Churchill, Tennessee area in a late evening. Now, by 3 a.m., his 1972 blue Chevy Camaro is found in the Goshen Valley area, 300 yards before you get to Laurel Run Park, less than a mile from his home, his mother's home. Now, when police start to look, they notice that the vehicle had wrecked in that field, but somewhere else. It had flipped several times. The vehicle was totaled, but when it landed on its tires, and someone tried to drive it and get out of the field and get away, but they got stuck on a fence. Now, at the car where it's stuck on the fence, we have his very sacred Indian prayer bag with very sacred items in it, religious items, books, writings, journals, very important items, and his wallet. Police say that the wallet looks as if it was placed or staged. Now, police bring in bloodhounds. The bloodhounds will track Kenneth Brent Patterson's scent from the vehicle to the Holston River, and then it just disappears. Days later, the Churchill Rescue Squad and the Kingsport Life-Saving Crew drag the river and find nothing. And technically, my friends, that is it. There is nothing else. There's no more evidence. There's no more Kenneth Brent Patterson. There's no more anything. Theories. He has a wreck, an accident. He tries to flee because his house is less than a mile away. Gets stuck on the fence. Gets out. All of his stuff falls out. He's disoriented. He's disheveled. And he starts to walk toward Churchill. Walks down to the river. And basically succumbs to the river and drowns. And just by happenstance, no one ever sees the body. And he just vanishes and disappears. There was one possible sighting of him walking that night around the time of the crash toward Churchill. Now, what supports that? Everything at the crime scene supports the accident, no foul play theory, up until you don't find a body in the river. So, you would think in July, the river's being used every day, you would think that at some point somebody would find the body. Now, if outside of that, other than them thinking the wallet was placed and there was no blood or evidence of anyone getting injured in the crash, everything could fall in line with the accident, no foul play theory. And it's possible. That could be what happened. Theory two is everything that just happened happens, except he is met with someone on the road that offers him help, and instead of helping him, they try to rob him. They go back up to the car. They throw all this shit out of the car, you know, go through his bags, looking for money, looking for whatever, throw his wallet out, you know, and then, you know, wipe the car down after touching some of the stuff inside to not leave prints or just whatever. And then he's met with foul play and he's never seen again. What supports that? Well, all the evidence would support that. Because, I mean, that could have happened with everything that was found. But what you don't have is you don't have any eyewitness statements that say they saw another car in the area, or another statement they saw him talking with someone in the area. You don't have anything like that. Now, if you do, if they do, they're holding that to the close to the vest. I have no idea. I mean, they may have some more information that they're not letting out. But if they did, I mean, the case is, it's 1986. So he would be 90, I mean, how old would he be? 60-some-odd years old. So, I mean, if there's more information out there, I might could say, well, this theory two is garbage. It ain't going to happen. Now, theory three, that's far off theory, is you might ask yourself, well, what would cause him to wreck? I mean, why did he wreck? Okay, let's say that someone's chasing him. He's trying to get home, trying to get out of there. And in a moment of haste, he's driving too fast and he wrecks. And in a panic, being disoriented from the wreck, he's got to get away from these sons of bitches. So he starts the car, gets hung up on the fence. But by this time, they're on him. They drag him out of the car, throw his shit around, beat his ass, throw him in their van, their car, truck, whatever there is. They think they're just going to mess him up. They're going to have a good time, whatever. They're going to pay him back. He kissed their girlfriend or he winked at her, whatever. And then he's gone. But that theory doesn't work because, for me, because if that theory is accurate, or if you want to believe that theory, then you've got to believe that they went down to the river and then left from there. Because we here's what we know for a fact. The bloodhounds followed his scent from the scene of the crash to the banks of the Holston River. Now, could have the suspects roughed him up, took him down to the river there and roughed him up? Sure. That could happen. But I think that's why I said a more far-fetched theory. And the only reason I put that theory into play is because that kind of goes, I was just trying to put something in there that would kind of give a reason as for the speed or the wreck. You know what I mean? Because just a little straightaway country road. But don't this story just kind of boggle your mind? Because somebody has a car wreck. They wreck their car in a field on a country road, and they're never seen again. They're just gone. You know, that's the questions we ask. Ask the questions. What caused the wreck? I wonder what caused the wreck to happen. Was it just an accident? Was it foul play? Who tried to drive the car away after the accident? Was it Brent or Kenneth? Was it accident, foul play? Why was the items found around the car not at the original resting spot of the accident, but around the car where it was hung and stuck on the fence? Accident, foul play. Could be because once he clearly realizes that he's stuck and he's not getting out of there, I think maybe he starts to grab his stuff out of the vehicle. Is his wallet in his pocket? Where does he keep his wallet? Why is it on the ground? And that wallet is the one key, well, the one part, the evidence, the one piece of evidence in this case, I feel, that put the police on foul play. And I don't know exactly how it was laid, but however that wallet was laid caused them to think staged. This was planted and staged, and they wanted them to find it there. I encourage you to Google this case. I encourage you to ask us questions. Send us a question on email, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. This is a some of these cases, like, you can't wrap your mind around some of this stuff. But at the end, maybe it's Oxfam's razor. Maybe it's the most simple is the right answer. Because the slightest little thing could have happened, and then it just seems like the biggest crazy mystery in the world. And I think it's because we can't wrap our minds around this. It's like when people go missing, people just they don't vanish. Something happened. Is it plausible that he ended up disoriented Being a, maybe he was like a spiritualist, maybe he's on a mushrooms or some kind of an enhancement drug. I mean, maybe he was disoriented from the wreck. Is it plausible that he wandered to the river and drowned and was never, and his body was never found? Yes, that's possible. Is it possible that he met with foul play after the accident? Yes, it's possible. Is it possible that foul play was the very beginning of this and foul play is what started this? I guess it's possible, but it's not as probable as theory one or theory two. I appreciate you guys listening. This story just, it baffles me. It really does. Cause it's like, you know, someone's here 1 minute and they're gone the next. And this is an older case, 1986. It's coming up on 30 years. 30 years. 30 years of family has no idea what happened to their son. That's just, that bothers me. It just, it's, it bothers me. People say, closure. There's no such thing as closure. That pain's there. And knowing or not knowing, the pain is real, but you would want to know where your family member is. Just the thought of them being out there somewhere and you not knowing where they are, at least with a gravesite and a tombstone, you can go somewhere to pay your respects, to go and show honor and love and appreciation for that person's life when they were on this earth and honoring their memory. You know, this case is strange to me. But like, and there's not much information there, you know, there's just not much. So you're left to kind of speculate. I mean, here's what we do know. He was here one day and gone the next, so something happened. Did it happen at his own hand or did it happen at the hands of somebody else? This is the Weekly Podcast.